Hi, and welcome to Super Anti-Aging Podcast with myself, Steve Halpern. As you know, I do constant searches on the web and anti-aging forums, blogs, medical studies to bring you the latest health information. Well, something very exciting, the big concern about Alzheimer's, dementia, and the fact that until there's real damage, you don't see the symptoms. And we don't really have a good test, no matter what they tell you, unless they do an autopsy in your brain. Supposedly they're working on blood tests that might pick it up and all sorts of things like that, but not really yet. We're just not there yet. But we do know, and there's enough animal studies and cell studies that show that inflammation is a big factor. Inflammation in aging, inflammation in, when I say aging, age-related conditions, and even affecting stem cells. And, a search on the web and put in any health condition inflammation and it comes up. So what might we do? Well, there was some interesting, good science research by some brilliant neuroscientist, well published and respected, and they've come to the conclusion based on their research that, listen to this, ibuprofen might be a great prophylaxis for Alzheimer's and dementia because of the way it deals with inflammation and all sorts of biochemical pathways. Well, I'm not thrilled about taking ibuprofen or what's called a non-steroid anti-inflammatory for many reasons. Way back, Celebrex, which was a non-steroid anti-inflammatory, was going to be wonderful for people with pain, and then they found out it increased the risk of heart attacks. And unfortunately, a Celebrex or ibuprofen or an Advil or any of those, even over the counter, they work on one specific anti-inflammatory pathway, but not the other. And they can actually interfere with another major inflammatory pathway. So what are we to do? Well, I thought, and I said, anti-inflammatory. Let's look up ginger. And sure enough, great studies on ginger. Yeah, ginger. Cancer, heart disease, and possibly Alzheimer's and neurological deterioration. That's right, something as simple as ginger. Now, ginger is an antioxidant, which is kind of interesting. So I've added, how much ginger can I take? It's fine, I can sprinkle on my food. So I've added some ginger capsules to my regimen, because why not? It's very safe, good for nausea. I'm sure if you take a whole bottle of ginger, it'd be a problem, but certainly not a problem. And I've even seen some ginger studies on canines by some vets specializing in cancer. And they said, this is a great idea. You can give a little ginger to your dog, and that would be great. And this is very, very important because, one of the things that happens in flu infections, viral infections or bacterial infections, many of the problems come from excessive inflammation and imbalance, an overreactive immune system, basically caused by oxidative stress and other factors. And that might be why people actually feel better when they take an Advil, ibuprofen, because it's anti-inflammatory. Now, things like acetaminophen are not anti-inflammatory. Tylenol actually is kind of dangerous for the liver, and there have been lots and lots of emergency room visits for people with Tylenol poisoning to their liver, even sometimes on a normal dose. So Tylenol is not my favorite. Aspirin, yeah, I think it's okay. Now, if you're not worried about stomach bleeding, and I think, short term is not a problem. I think the whole idea, and this is another very important factor, we're told it might be a good idea to take a baby aspirin, and then others say, no, it doesn't do anything. Well, there's actually an aspirin blood test you can take that will tell you genetically if you're an aspirin responder. And if you're an aspirin responder, that would be a great idea. And if you're not, why bother? So now we have ginger. How wonderful. Another study came out on vitamin D again. Now it's starting to make sense to me why, if I feel I'm getting sick and I take short term, 1 or 2 days, 50,000 D, because it'll quiet the immune system. It'll quiet some of the anti-inflammatory, but it won't suppress, my normal immune system. So let's get back to the vitamin D, and they found that low vitamin D in pregnant women seemed to be a factor in the development of ADD in their children. And there's even the suggestion that low vitamin D might be a factor in ADD in children. So another wonderful plus for vitamin D. Now, another interesting brain nutrient, if it's not part of your nutrition pharmacopoeia, is Bacopa. Bacopa has some interesting research. It's an Ayurvedic herb that has been shown in studies to enter the brain and have a positive brain effect. It has a long safety history. I know Dr. Liss, my MD colleague, really loves Bacopa and often recommends it. So Bacopa is a wonderful addition. And of course, as I've said many times before, the blueberries and the berries, great for the brain. I like aronia, and I'll be telling you more about, getting the best aronia. Elderberry. That Sambuca they advertise as an anti-flu. Not all that much studies. And some studies in antiviral, but it goes into the brain just like the blueberry does. So we're back to the berries. And another great over-the-counter is cinnamon. Cinnamon is a powerful antioxidant. Wonderful for blood sugar control. And there seems to be, again, some interesting brain studies on cinnamon. So simple, right? So, and some of these things are just so easy to do. But my suggestion is, if you haven't done a daily, ginger capsule, or put lots of ginger on your food, I would start to do it. I think it's a very inexpensive nutrition, as I say, nutraceutical. We're in the era of nutraceuticals. And on a different note, I was watching the other day, the whole area of artificial intelligence. and how drug companies are using this now to come up with things they haven't even thought of. I mean, there was one algorithm that can, algorithm and, you know, program that can look at a billion and more natural or chemical combinations. And they came up with an obsessive compulsive drug they're going to test. But the idea of, you know, it costs maybe $5 billion to test a drug. And they feel this might really shorten the time and come up with some great ideas. So, like, you know, the future's here. We can't go backwards and say, let's not have AI. It's every place and growing more and more and more. You know, that's how, you know, you look up something and boom, next thing you know it, you're getting a zillion ads. Well, that's just the way it is right now. So, come to the end of this podcast. I thank you for listening. I thank you for subscribing to my podcast and sharing it with your friends. And thank you so much for listening.